Okay, folks, I make it quarter two just gone, so I might make a start. Welcome to this presentation on managing procedural fear and pain in children. Come in, grab a seat. My name's Bernie Whittaker, and I'm very happy to be here. This is my seventh ISPP, and I feel very fortunate to have been able to present at all of them, and of course to be standing in front of you today. Unfortunately, it's me, Dave Baker. Dave Baker was unable to get leave from work, but he's done a fantastic video presentation, which I'm going to save to the end. And actually, Dave's story was the inspiration for me to put in this submission for ISPP 2023. You know, I was thinking, will I, won't I, you know? And then Dave's story, I thought, I just got to share this. It was very good. So I'm going to save Dave's story to the end. Laura Walsh had to cancel the last minute, unfortunately. She sent me her slides, though. I've known Laura for many years. She was head of play therapy at Great Ormond Street Hospital in London, and now she's head of play therapy at Starlight Children's Foundation in Hammersmith, London. I run workshops on managing procedural fear and pain in children, and have done that since 1995. That's a fair old while. And I mentioned ISPP. The first one I went to was Philadelphia in 94. And it's interesting how ISPP's evolved in the conferences. Because I remember on at that congress saying, what about the psychology? Where's the psychology? And the response was, oh, that was on the education day. The psychology was on the education day. And then the 3 days of Congress was all of the other stuff. So that's a shift, isn't it, folks? That's a huge shift, you know, because we've been listening to presentations about anxiety and non-pharmacological approaches and so on. Anyway, look, I'm mindful of time. So I'm just going to keep it moving along. But this is I submitted it as a skills workshop, and that's what it's going to be, skills, okay? So you're going to, we're going to do two skills, mindful distraction and guided imagery. And I'll show you some videos of me using guided imagery as well. You can record the audio, but I'd ask you not to record any video of the children for obvious reasons. Okay, I think I might just switch to Laura's work and just run through that. I'm used to Mac, so this is quite a challenge. Here we go. Come in, folks, have a seat. Slideshow. Here we go. Play, Starlight Children's Foundation. Wish you were here, Laura, but here we go. I've been teaching play specialists since I started teaching guided imagery. So, and play specialists, you can sit anywhere except there. That puts you in the front row, Neil. Yeah, I've been teaching play specialists for many years, and what a fantastic group of people. You might know them as child life specialists. And all too often, in my experience, is they get called to put out the fire. You know, there's some poor kid distressed, and they, oh, we'll get the child life specialist, get the play specialist, you know. Well, as an Australian, I know that fire prevention is way better than trying to put out fires. Yeah, do snap away, and if you take any pickies, I'll get them after you, okay? Do you mind? Okay, so this is Laura's presentation. She's going to, well, what she would have presented, which I'm doing in her stead, you can see up there. And there was a virtual reality study that she is mentioning that was between Starlight and Leeds Hospital in the UK. So, look, you know, we've known for many, many years, I'm not going to read through all that, you can read it. We've known for many years that preparation and play helps to alleviate the distress that children experience during procedures. One of my main thoughts is that the effects of play and preparation is it's reducing threat. Because threat is about the what ifs. You know, the child who's sitting outside the procedure room, come in, sitting outside the procedure room, waiting to go in. You know, health professionals call it anxiety. And when I say health professionals, that's my catch-all term for everyone. But, you know, it's often not anxiety. And in the heat of the moment, it's definitely not anxiety, it's fear. It's that huge wave of fear that comes up and swamps the child. Why do health professionals talk about anxiety and all day, every day, and don't talk about fear? Well, my view on it, okay, but let's bracket the psychologists, right, for a moment. I'll ask you, the rest of you, health professionals, how much time did you spend in your basic training, whatever your field is, how much time did you spend on emotion theory? None, right? Same as me. I didn't study emotions until I did my PhD. And yet every day you work with emotions. That's what you do. Even if you're a rat researcher, you work with emotions because you're human. And experience emotion is to be human. So we get thrown in the deep end. Why do people talk about anxiety? Because they're not comfortable with fear. And it's easy to talk about anxiety and walk away. This child in bed 3, she's 6 years old, she's anxious. We've all got a collective understanding of the 6-year-old anxious girl, yeah? Rewind. We've got a child in bed 3, she's 6 years old, and she's afraid. What are you going to ask me? Come on. What's she afraid of? Fear has a focus. See the difference? It's easy for us to label as anxiety and walk away. Okay. And of course, play specialists, child life specialists, very involved with reducing threat, reducing, there's anxiety, reducing fear as well. Play, if you're engaging in play, I like the last one there, the last point there, attention cannot be split. Play occupies attention, and attention is part of cognition, and cognition is part of pain. Memory, emotion, attention, language, learning, thought, consciousness, that's all cognitive aspects, and they're all cognitive aspects of pain, for a talk on another day. But if you've got distraction going, whether it's VR, whether it's bubbles, you know, Leora Kuttner with the pop-up book, seminal work, it's shifting attention. You were here. Age and interest appropriate resources. So, and this is something that Starlight do, is they provide these resources to hospitals, to play specialists and so on in hospitals around the UK. Here's some of the comments from play specialists as well. And I'll let you just scan those for the moment. For me, it's always been a delight teaching play specialists because they're such a first word that came to my mind is dedicated, but that's not even the best word. Well, they're passionate like me. They're passionate about improving the management of pain in kids. And the virtual reality, I just went to a VR presentation, which was fantastic. And VR, well, that's something that's been around a long time. Somebody I knew, we were at ISPP in Vancouver, over the other way. I don't know, is it that way? everything's upside down. In Vancouver, 2006, Belinda Lang, she did a PhD in Australia, in Adelaide, on virtual reality in 2006. And I'll never forget the first picture of VR headset on the cover of Pain, the journal Pain. This massive, huge, some of you might have seen it, it was like that big, you know. And thank goodness technology has advanced. So that's Just some points about this VR study distraction that Starlight were involved with Leeds Hospital as well. I'm not going to read that. I'll let you just scan that for a moment. Yeah, look, we've known for a long time that distraction helps. I mean, in my PhD, I investigated the effects of distraction, relaxation, and imagery on procedural fear and pain in children. And I found that distraction reduced fear. I measured fear. How do you measure fear? Huh? We're going to do that. It's a skills workshop, right? So it didn't reduce the hurty bit of pain, but it reduced the fear. Okay, that was Laura's presentation. I hope I did you justice, Laura. I'm recording it so I can play it. So. I probably should have told you folks that, shouldn't I? All right. Now I'm proud of myself because, yeah, I worked it. Okay, so how do you measure fear? Well, you can use Nancy Hester's poker chip tool. Don't leave home without it, yeah? But you know what? Last year I was running a workshop for Starlight in London and I left my poker chips in Australia. Ah, gee. Couldn't believe it, right? I'm on the train station at Bristol Station and heading up to London thinking, what can I use? What can I use? And you know what? I'm really glad that I left the poker chips because I come up with something that's really easy. Can we have a volunteer? Somebody want to volunteer? One at a time. One at a time. Yeah, good on you. Thanks. Whoop. Let's go up here. I prepared the chairs.
Come up?
Yeah, come up. Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the stage. What's your name?
Vanessa.
Good on you, Vanessa. We've even got a microphone because Vanessa may not be as loud as me. Excuse me reaching, Vanessa. So what did I come up with? Well, I come up with milk bottle tops. Yeah? So I went on the station. Should have four. Yeah, there we are. I went on the train station to the cafe and I said, you got some milk bottle tops? And the guy said, yeah, you know. And I thought, well, that'll do, right? About a month and a half ago, I was in Germany visiting a friend of mine. She's an anaesthetist in the pain world, Eva Hoffman, hi Eva. And we were having a barbecue and there were some medical friends around. She said, Bernie, can you demonstrate the poker chip tool? So I did it with four cherries and a strawberry. Yeah? Okay, you just wing it. Okay, so what you do for those, I've got four poker chips. Well, no, I haven't, I've got four milk bottle tops. So I'm the five-year-old child, okay? You're the health professional, and you lay these out in front of me, left to right. So there's one that's a different colour. That means, I mean, Nancy Hester, each one was a piece of hurt, yeah? And I just adapt this to each one's a piece of scariness, yeah? So this one is not scary at all, okay? This first one, that's a little bit scary, yeah? So you're the health professional, I'm 5 years old. You're interested in about how scary this is for me to be able to be going in there to have a procedure, yeah?
Okay, sure.
So you've laid this out in front of me. I'll get you right off the hook, don't worry. Okay. So she's laid it out in front of me. We've got the single colour on the left. That means not scary at all. This first one, that's a little bit scary. Next one, that's starting to get pretty scary. Next one, oh, that's really scary. And the one on the end, I can't even talk about it. It's so scary. Okay. Can you just say, Bernie? Can you pick up the milk bottle top that tells me about how scary this is for you? Can you just say that?
Hi, Bernie. Can you pick up the milk bottle top that tells you how scary this procedure is for you coming up? Thank you.
Oh, I picked up this one, third, and I gave it to her. Now, I reckon that's therapeutic. What? Anybody got any ideas? Why do I think that's therapeutic?
It's
validating, we're talking about, validated the fear. What else?
Sharing.
Sorry?
Sharing the
Sharing. Yeah, what did I physically do? I gave it to her. I picked up my fear and I handed it to her. I'm 5 years old. What do I now know? I know, she knows, I'm scared. I think that helps. Yeah? And what you might do, as the in-tune health professional that you are, you might say something like, Bernie, that's quite a wave. Waves. Emotions are waves. They go up. Fortunately, they go down again. That's quite a wave. I've got some ideas how we might be able to move that wave, yeah? With some of the techniques. The other thing you can do, where's my wheelbarrow? Here it is. I've got a wheelbarrow. You know what a wheelbarrow is, don't you? Yeah? I've got a wheelbarrow full of empathy. And I'm wheeling it in. And you can wheel in a wheelbarrow of empathy when you say to the child, you know what, Bernie? That helps me understand what this is like for you. Right? You've just flattened the power differential. You're working with the child.
Using creativity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for volunteering.
That was not a
round of applause. Okay. I've got an obstacle course here. I'll get some piggies off your man later.
Okay.
Good on you. All right. Okay, I've totally got no idea about time now. But anyway, afternoon tea's after this, so maybe I'll go a little. Okay, skills, techniques, yeah? First one, mindful distraction. Mindful distraction. What is that about? Well, we're going to do it now. I've got it down to one page, A4. Okay, one single page A4, this technique. And you can download it off my website. I printed off a few copies for folks. But if you go to www.topdownpaincontrol, or just Google my name and the word pain, it'll come up, you know. Anyway, so mindful distraction. Now, this is a technique that we can teach to kids regardless, okay? Some of you, I'm sure, will be familiar with Leora Kuttner's follow-up video, No Fears, No Tears, 13 years later, where she went back and interviewed the four-year-olds who are now like 17, 18-year-old. And every one of them said to the effect, I'll never forget what you taught me. Well, they were 4 or 5 years old. Every one of them said, I'll never forget what you taught me. We have an opportunity. We're in a position to be able to teach kids techniques to help them to cope with the difficult stuff that they've got to do, get through. Okay, so mindful distraction. This is now you engage. Okay, one hand here, one on your tummy. Everyone, you got to do it. Right. Why do we place the hands? Well, it signals the beginning of the technique. So imagine you've got an anaesthetist or somebody in theatre with a child who's a bit distressed, yeah, and that person, that health professional in theatre says, you know what, we've got this thing called mindful distraction, and if that anaesthetist or that nurse places their hands like this and the child's learned the technique in the ED or in a clinic or somewhere, they're going, oh, I know that, I can do that. It signals the beginning of the technique. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take a deep breath in through our nose and then we're going to blow and we're going to try and keep our upper hand still and move our tummy hand. Okay, ready? In we go. In and blow. In again and blow. It doesn't matter if you move this way. In we go and blow. That's three. What the heck? Let's go for four. You ready? In. And blow. Okay, hands comfy, anywhere you like. Think about your feet on the floor. I'd invite you to put both feet on the floor and just think about your feet on the floor. Notice your sensation of your feet on the floor. Give your toes a wiggle. I say to kids, that's good. I can see your toes wiggling. Yeah? So wiggling toes, just thinking about from your toes along the soles of your feet to your heels. Now we'll come up on the top of your feet. If you had shoes with laces on, where the laces do up. Just thinking about that part. Now we'll go up your legs. We'll go up the back of your legs. Up to your knees. Noticing any sensations around your knees. While you're at knees, just notice your breathing in its own time and in its own way. Notice the breath that goes in its own way and the breath that goes out. From knees, we'll go through to your hips. You're all, well, nearly all of you are sitting on a chair. If a child was lying on a bed, or you just adjust it, okay, for the position. Lower back. Notice any sensations around your lower back. Back against the chair. Up your back, right up to your shoulders. If you like with shoulders, you can just give them a bit of a move, let them drop a bit if you want to. From shoulders, we'll go around your neck. Maybe you can notice any sensations around your neck, collar, hair, scarf, jewelry, name tag, whatever. Now we'll go up the back of your head. Right up to the top of your head, your tallest point, right on the top of your head. Just thinking about right up on the top of your head. Now we'll go down across your forehead and your eyes. You can do this with eyes open, or you can close your eyes. If you're comfortable, close your eyes. Eyes will come down through your jaw. That's a place we often hold a lot of tension, and it's a really good place to let go. Your jaw will come down through your neck, out to your shoulders again. Then we'll go down both arms together, through your elbows, to your wrists, and your fingers. Now, when you're a child, you might have put your hand on a piece of paper, got a pencil, and traced the image of your hand on the paper. We can do a little mindful tracing, what I call mindful tracing. So just thinking about one hand, doesn't matter what position it's in, just thinking about one hand, you can move it if you want to, that's fine. And just tracing in your mind, in and out around the fingers, and the thumb, and then switch over to the other hand. Do the same thing. Okay, noticing your breathing. Let's do the lemon exercise. Stefan Lundberg asked me, are you gonna do the lemon exercise? Yeah. Okay, imagine a lemon. Imagine you got a lemon somewhere, it could be anywhere. Could be about to go over some fish and chips. Could be about to be sliced into a gin and tonic. Could be on a picnic. Could be on a tree. Could be anywhere. But you've got a lemon. Hold the lemon in your hand. Notice the size of the lemon, the shape of the lemon. You've got a knife there. Cut the lemon in cross halfways. You might notice the smell of the lemon as you cut through the lemon. You've got a half there, hold that half a lemon in your hand, notice the shape, notice the colour, notice the pattern of the fleshy part from the periphery, from the edge to the centre. Did you cut through any pips or did you miss them all? Okay, when you're ready, take that half a lemon you got in your hand up to your mouth and sink your teeth into it. Give it a big juicy bite right into the fleshy part of the lemon. Notice any sensations in your mouth. Maybe they change. Okay, let's go to favourite place. Maybe you've got a favourite place. Let the lemon go. We'll take a few moments thinking about your favourite place. If you could be anywhere at all, this is the place you'd like to be. Your special place. Notice what sort of a day it is. Is it a sunny day, a cloudy day? Is there any breeze? What's off to the left? Notice what's off to the left of where you are. How does that compare to the right? This is the sort of place where you don't have to do anything. Nothing needs to be done, and nobody wants you to do anything. You can just be you in your special place. Any sounds, any images, colours, any sensory aspects about where you are? Okay, notice your breathing. Take a nice, slow, deep breath in, everyone. Let out slow, and if you've drifted somewhere, just thinking in your mind from 4 to 3 to 2 to 1, and when you get to 1, if you've got your eyes closed, open them up slowly, look at the floor, and then look up. And we're done. Want to stretch? Okay, mindful distraction. That technique is described here. The lemon exercise isn't there, I'll just throw that in as an extra, but you know, do whatever you like. And yeah, as I said, you can download it off the webpage as well. Okay, so that's technique number one for today, which is mindful distraction. I'll take any quick questions or comments, thoughts, anyone? Yeah?
Yeah, with mindfulness techniques, one thing I do like is, you know, a lot of the play therapy is looking at development age appropriate, like the younger ones, but I always found that the mindfulness works quite well for the older youth.
Older youth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For distraction.
Yeah, here, we had a microphone. It's not good now, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, this would be for older kids, but you know, pop, 6, 7 year old, I think, you know, are okay with it as well. Yeah. Good point. All right, we might move to guided imagery now, and I'm going to demonstrate the technique. Somebody volunteer, okay? Think about that. Somebody want to, not everybody at once, one at a time. Okay, you're up for it. Wow, that was quick. Good on you. You want to come up here? So I'll demonstrate guided imagery, and then I'm going to show you some video of me using guided imagery. I have the two chairs ready here. Yeah, you can have this one. Yeah. I even got a microphone. Because I'm loud, but you may not be. Okay. So guided imagery. What I really want is for you to pair up and practice as well. Okay? Have a go. Just have a go. So pay attention to the technique, and you can just give it a go with the person next to you. And if you don't know them, that's great. Right? Because you don't know the kids, do you? Often. Right? So that's fine. What's your name?
Taylor.
Good on you, Taylor. Thanks for volunteering. Okay, if I'm going to do some imagery with Taylor, I'm not going to start with breathing or, you know, imagining anywhere or anything like that, because one of the things I learned really on when I did my master's was it's important for the child to choose their own imagery. That's one of the most important things. I got all sorts of things that I can imagine. It's great, but it may not be Taylor's cup of tea, yeah? So when you're doing your practice with your partner, okay, that's your first question. You know, what do you think you might like to imagine? Taylor, what do you think you might like to imagine? I'll sit down with you.
It'll be anything?
It'll be anything at all, yeah. Now, that's a good question. You know, I was in Stockholm running a workshop once, and this lady, she said, Bernie, I'm not very imaginative. I don't know what I could imagine. I said, well, if you could do anything at all, what would you like to do? She said, I'd like to go to Oxford Street in London with an open credit card shopping. She went for it, you know. So it doesn't have to be on the beach, it can be anything. Yeah, and it got me off this.
Laying in a hammock.
Lying in a hammock. Okay, I got a general idea. Okay. Okay, let's do, if you pop your feet flat on the floor, yeah. And okay, here we go. You ready?
I'm going to lay in a hammock.
They're all going to have a go after, so it's not just you, right? They're going to have a go as well. They're going to be awkward as well. No. I acknowledge it's a little awkward too, you know. Okay, so let's think about our feet on the floor. Folks, you can think about your feet on the floor as well. Okay, Taylor, just think about your feet on the floor. And let's take a nice, slow, deep breath in your own time. And let it out slowly. That's good. And let's start like we did before with feet on the floor. Just gradually go up your legs to your knees. Noticing your breathing. That breath that goes in its own time and the one that goes out. And then we'll cut right through to your hips, bottom on the chair, lower back. Okay, we'll go right up your back, up to your shoulders. And then from shoulders, we'll go up the back of your head, right up to the top of your head, your tallest point. Down across your forehead, you've got your eyes closed there, that's fine. Come down through your neck, out to your shoulders again. And then we'll go down forearms, shoulders, upper arms, sorry, forearms, right down through your wrists and your fingers. Now, Taylor, I don't know what it looks like where this hammock is, but just imagine that you're there right now. And are you in the hammock or next to it or? Yeah, you can talk to me. Yeah, so keep your eyes closed. Yeah.
I'm laying in the
that's
hammock.
That's fine.
In a minute.
You're lying in the hammock. Okay, that's fine. Now you might be thinking that you just lie in the hammock for a minute. You might be thinking Taylor's probably just lost it all, but you can do this with eyes open as well, you know. And she can have that hammock going there now. What's the hammock? Is it strung between trees or something? Just imagine
yes.
that you're there. Yeah? Yeah? And you're lying in the hammock. Is it swinging at all or is it still?
A little swinging. A
little bit of swinging, yeah. And if you notice what's above you as you're lying in the hammock, imagining you're right there now, what's above you? What can you see above you?
Some leaves.
Leaves.
The sky, yep.
And the sky. What's the sky look like?
It's like light blue with some clouds that are moving slowly.
Okay. Can you determine which direction the clouds are moving? Left to right to left, up, down, which way?
Right to left.
Right to left, okay. And are they okay looking clouds? It's not like it's going to start raining or anything.
No.
It's just, they're just moving across, okay. And what about the leaves? Is there any breeze? Can you notice any breeze in the leaves?
Mm-hmm. There's a little breeze, very
yeah.
green leaves.
Very green, are they? Right, okay. Is it full of leaves or are some of them falling and turning? What are they like?
It's full of leaves.
Full of leaves, okay. But you can see the sky through the leaves. Yeah. Okay. Alright, and is there movement in the hammock still? Yeah. Are there any sounds around that you can notice?
Just the leaves, water nearby.
The water. Oh, there's water, is there? I'm just going to take your right hand and hold your hand. The water. Just tell me about the water.
Blue.
Blue, yeah.
Yep.
And you can hear it, can you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell which direction it's coming from?
That way.
That way. Okay. Is it a pleasant sound?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. What do you got on your feet? Can you see your feet in the hammock?
Right now, I think shoes.
Yeah, shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Does it feel relaxed in the hammock?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put your hand back down again. Okay. If you like, we can finish up there in the hammock and I'll tell you how we do that. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Yeah? So just notice your breathing. Ready, take a nice slow deep breath in, let it out slowly. Just think in your mind from 4 to 3 to 2 to 1. When you get to 1, just open your eyes up. We're all finished. How'd you go?
Great, very relaxing.
Yeah, did you feel as if you were here, or did you feel as if you were there, or did you feel as if sometimes in between?
In between.
Yeah.
Like I could see it,
yeah.
But I was also aware that I was here.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And when you felt like you were more there, what was it about? Can you nail anything? Was there anything in particular that made you feel like you were more there?
I think just like the familiarity of the place, already having like been to there before.
Yeah.
Like the place I was describing.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, well done. That's great, Edmund. How are we doing for time?
Yeah, okay. Hopefully good.
All right. That was mindful distraction. So guided imagery, explanation and roles. That's useful to do, you know, if you're the one that's doing the imagery and you've got a health professional doing a procedure, then it's very useful to explain the roles. Same with the parents. You know, and the health professional might say, oh, I normally say this and do that. And they say, well, in this technique, I'm the one that's going to be doing most of the talking. But you know what? If you've got time afterwards, I'd really like to talk to you about how you felt it went. Then they feel included. The last thing you want to do is exclude people. Everybody wants to try and help, yeah? So explanation of role, and the child's assent as well. Look, the title of this presentation is, I know a way we can make this easier. Would you like to try? That is what, where does that come from? That's what I say to kids. Easier, right? We've got a construct, personal construct psychology, right? Things can be easy, they can be hard. That's a construct. Easier is loosening. It's loosening. It's moving towards. Yeah? That's why I use that phrase. And you can practice this technique without a procedure. So I've got two videos and I've sort of cut them down a bit. The second video is of a child on an oncology ward who really struggled with procedures. I was told that she just screamed. Yeah, you could hear it two floors down. We all know that sort of a situation. Totally freaked out child. Now, I had a practice run with her at the bedside, and then we went to the procedure room. When I did my master's in the ED department, often I'd have a practice run with a child in the cubicle, then we'd go to the case theatre or whatever it is, you know. Often it was the same imagery, sometimes not, doesn't matter. So, but you, if you guys want to have a go at this, you don't have to wait for a procedure. Just grab hold of a child somewhere and do some imagery. Yeah, you know what I mean. Okay, so I've talked about that. The imagery choice is always the child's. We listen and engage with the child rather than making suggestions. You allow the child to move in the present tense. It's in the here and now. So Taylor was describing being there now, you know, what's to the left, what's to the right, what can you see, the trees, the leaves. Did any of you have your own version of what Taylor was describing? Yeah? I call that co-constructing. Yeah? Co-constructing. So while you're guiding the imagery, you're co-constructing, you're having your own version of it, and that helps you formulate the questions.